Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
15 yards of offense per game. That is by far the worst in the NFL. Some good developments for the Steelers. No Joe Shiesty. And, okay, Lamar Jackson, still really good. But the Ravens have some very obvious warts. And, you know, the Mina Kimes and Ben Solaks of the world before the season started said, look at their DVOA.
No, that's Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders. Well,
but they steal Schatz's stat. Look at the DVOA.
What about their EPA?
Look at their EPA. This is the most perfect team in the NFL.
Is this a hybrid Solak-Kimes nerd voice?
They're by far the best team. They're by far the best team in the NFL. Solak sent out a tweet that said that. With like 5 minutes in the game left against Buffalo, ESPN's Ben Solak, NFL analyst.
His dad is very possibly listening to us right now run him down a little bit.
He goes, it's not even worth debating if any team's close to the Ravens. They're one of one.
This was an exorcism game for the Lions who went in there, last year and got absolutely smacked.
Do you think the Cowboys' pass defense is pretty crappy?
Yes.
They gave up 450 to Russell Wilson, who was benched today, and Caleb Williams had the best game of his career on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are the only team in the NFL that's given up more passing yards than the Ravens.
And
Madubuke might be out for the year.
So I'm going to say two things.
How about that?
I'm going to say two things about your initial comment. Hey, Joe Shiesty's out. I think that is much better for the Steelers than the Ravens' development for this reason. I think you cannot just present this material here or these realities.
Yeah.
Without noting two of the three teams they've played. Buffalo is arguably the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
And that game was a phenomenal Bills comeback, and it was back and forth the whole time.
Right.
So it's Josh Allen, reigning MVP.
Sure.
Detroit, after admittedly, for people like me that love the Lions, that's my NFC official team that I love rooting for, after an initially stunning, ugly opener against the Packers,
yeah,
they put up half a hundred and then some on the Bears.
Right.
And then did this. So going against, very possibly, Allen might be the best player in the league at his position. Hold on. Two of probably the five best offenses in football, if not two of the three best.
Yeah.
And in the case of Allen, maybe the best player at his position right now. You know what will make me very alarmed? If the Ravens go into Kansas City and let the Chiefs move the ball all over them.
But you already should be. Because one team has already shown you can slow down the Lions' offense. One team from that upper
crust. To be fair, that
crust,
team lost to the Cleveland Browns, but I get your point.
Yes, you're allowed to play some defense. And the Ravens have played none through three games.
No, it's troubling, especially since one of the things
they're
that was
not an immortal team.
One of the things that was supposed to be better about them was like a new level achieved because of Kyle Hamilton, and they were supposed to, they've reloaded this thing, and largely I do think they are still really well constructed, and I expect them to start playing better, but seeing them lose two games that I thought they would win, I thought they'd be 3-0, just as a tangible net good for the Steelers.
I know everything you said about how dynamic Buffalo and Detroit can be offensively. If the Steelers gave up 38 points to the Lions and 41 to the Bills, I wouldn't just come in here on Monday and say, well, that's the breaks. When you play those offenses, this happens. No, I'd be pissed.
Right.
I'd be livid, especially if my team didn't win the shootout. And even though the Steelers have shown they can't run the ball, they are, as they showed in the Jets game, they are more equipped to win a shootout because they have Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback now.
Let me ask you this about last night's game.
I think Aaron Rodgers could have a field day against the Ravens defense. Why wouldn't I think that way?
Let me ask you this about last night's game. Donnie, you can answer this one too, because I saw this get tweeted out again. I feel like I'm the first one who said this years ago and people ripped me for it, but now people kind of agree with it. Did one or both of you watch that game last night, just broadly speaking, and feel like you were watching, at least on offense still, a different version of football, like a different sport than what the Steelers tend to play? Because I still had that takeaway, especially watching Detroit. But I thought we all thought they were going to go in there and get roasted by the Ravens. It felt like, oh, wait, this is what a real offense and kind of what a real contender looks like. In Baltimore, that game was not a true one-score game, as I said earlier.
But
Jackson is still Jackson.
But it was facilitated by the fact that both of these defenses that played last night might stink. Detroit gave up, after Aiden Hutchinson went out, the most points in the NFL last year. They lost a home playoff game after a 15-win season because they gave up touchdowns on every drive. So, yeah, like, you might come away from this game thinking, wow, these are two high-octane offenses, but that shouldn't just gloss over the fact that both Detroit and Baltimore's defenses might blow. They might, especially the Ravens. It's 2 years in a row this has happened with their defense, and they made a schematic change last year, and things kind of went better again until they didn't. And they blew a playoff game. So Pomp like was talking about this last night again about how, like, you know, the Ravens are still, I think, his Super Bowl favorite or one of his Super Bowl favorites. And I'm just like, how many times do they have to do this for people to change their mind about them? Like, they're just impervious to people.
I still think that they're a better team than the Steelers, but they have warts, which is a heartening thing. Are the Steelers good enough, like, on the ground to take advantage of those warts? You saw Detroit. They've been devoted to the run for a long time.
Yeah.
And to, like, a great offensive line and conceptually wanting to be that team. They ran for 224. The Steelers might take them how many games to run for 224?
But don't you think the Steelers are closer to the Ravens three games into the season than you thought they would be three games in? They're literally ahead of them in the standings.
Marginally so. But I still think that there's a lot there to like about Baltimore.
All right, fair enough. And you can say that if we're ranking the units of both teams, the Ravens' offense is far and away the best one.
Mm-hmm.
But then who gets the next two? Steelers defense and Steelers offense, right? And then the Ravens defense would be the weakest link.
Right now, with the way the Ravens defense is playing, I can't really argue that. But I do think they're well coached, and I do think there's a chance they get a lot not
well
a lot coached. Better,
you just
better.
Ripped John Harbaugh as being a space cadet games.
Broadly speaking, though, I think he's a good football coach. I think you agree with me ultimately on that.
Well, I give him credit because he set up a system with Lamar Jackson. He found Lamar Jackson, and he's been able to flourish in that offense. That's a huge win for him as a coach.
Yeah, I think that's like a pretty laudable characteristic to have.
But they barf all the time in big games, including that week one game where you're supposed to win that game 100 out of 100 times. All of a sudden, the running back, who was such a difference maker for them last year, has fumbled in three straight games and had another huge, costly fumble again last night, and was amazing in week one, but wasn't good against the Browns and wasn't good against the Lions.
I'll level with you and say this much. When I know that a team can play offense like the Ravens I know are capable of. And listen, the fact that he's suddenly turning into Ramondre Henry is a good sign for everybody else if there might be like a weak point on the guy. When I see a team that I know can play offense, though, I tend to have a lot more of a wide berth for what I, you know, for, or I'm a lot more cautious. Let me put it this way. I'm a lot more cautious about shoveling dirt on a team that I know can light up the scoreboard.
No. Well, I'm shoveling dirt on them winning a Super Bowl. I'm not shoveling dirt on them making it back to the playoffs
and
winning the AFC North.
I know, but then that part of it is like a little bit more for me, just like taking pleasure in their misery. I don't know how connectable that is to anything related to the Steelers. Like,
do you mean? How is it correct? Pitt fans don't take great comfort in watching Penn State lose? You should. They're your arch rival. Yes, by definition. When the Yankees lose, Red Sox fans are happy. When if Penn State gets like blown out to Oregon, Malzi's like, going to have a big fat smile on his face Saturday like night. Yes,
those,
you are.
This feels like one of those, we got our own problems situations here. Like, I'm not going to...
If the Steelers
still can't
were
0-3,
I would agree with you, but they're 2-1, man.
Well, you know, it was a feel-bad loss, or feel-bad win yesterday, 2 days ago. So I'm just pointing out, spiritually, they feel more 1-2 than 2-1, spiritually.
I mean, you're making it sound like it's loser energy to take glee and delight in the Ravens being 1-2, and I totally disagree with that. They were built up as this team that was invincible this year. That it was their AFC to lose, that it was going to be Buffalo or Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
That it was their time. And through three games, they've got the worst defense in the NFL. That includes a Miami defense that really doesn't care. By the way, Miami's defense played better against the Bills than the Ravens defense did. How about that?
Are you already ruling them out then? You think they're not, they're cooked?
I rule them out to win the Super Bowl before every season starts. Yes. And I feel validated and vindicated by how the start of the season is going.
I think if they were to lose to the Chiefs.
Craig thinks their quarterback's a running back.
If they were to lose to the Chiefs, I think it would be DEFCON 1 for them. But I'm a pretty long way off from that. Craig thinks their quarterback's a running back because Craig doesn't know ball. And I know Craig's in the office right now. He is a running back in the sense that he has the all-time passer rating lead, and he's going to run for 10,000 yards in his
career. What's that passer rating look like in playoff games, though? Looks more like Mitch Trubisky's.
84.6.
That dude, that's really bad. How many quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now have a passer rating of 84.6 or worse?
That would probably be league average or worse, I would say.
No, way worse than that. 84.6?
No, I think, well, I mean, if we're going to talk, if we're going
to... This season.
Here's the problem, though.
Cam Ward, he plays like Cam Ward in the playoffs.
I know what your rebuttal is going to be, so I'll let you say it anyway because I know it'll make you happy. If we're poo-pooing playoff passer rating, we might want to check in on Ben Roethlisberger's 86.7 for his career.
Yeah, but you know how you get around that?
Two
big
Bowl
rings
titles,
on your fingers.
Yep. One of which came when he played literally the worst game anyone's ever
and
played
on a winning
Denver
Super Bowl team.
And how'd
he do in Denver 2 weeks before that, Chalooch?
Mm.
Yeah, wake me up when Lamar Jackson has a playoff game like Ben did in Denver.
Would Lamar winning like one or two Super Bowls towards the end, like at some point, maybe right now, would that be the worst thing that could happen for your broad like arguments?
Yes, but it's not going to happen. That'd be like saying, wow, is it, would Bob Nutting winning two World Series change your mind about him as an owner? Why, yes, it would. Okay, I mean, they've got it like... Have they really knocked down the door? He has not played well in playoff games, other than the one against the Steelers last January.
It's pretty fair to say, I think, that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are a lot closer to winning a Super Bowl than Bob Nutting is to owning a World Series titleist.
Not if he has Starkey. Starkey's got the Pirates winning, what, the 2027 World Series?
Who's he got winning this year's Super Bowl, the Colts over the Bears?
Donnie, was that his pick in the back today?
Yeah, that's his new sneaky Super Bowl pick.
So he's allowed like seven or eight different ones. There's the sneaky one, there's the real one, there's the plan B one, there's the fun one, there's the boring one.
How many, does he have just a pick for all seasons? It's like his picks are outfits, basically.
And then he also said, Donnie, what if the Browns get really hot and make it there? And I said, Joe, what if the Pirates win 95 games next year?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, I think we're moving good and moving in the right direction. Certainly there are areas of get better in all areas, run game, pass game, protection, division of labor, personality. But I like the general trajectory of all of those things that I mentioned.
Football Talk on the Fans presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We've got the 9:30 game in Dublin between the Steelers and Vikings, so still waiting to see what CBS game we get. That game will appear locally on Channel 4, the Steelers and Vikings. NFL Network if you're outside of Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin there says the offense is on the up and up. He thinks it has a great upward trajectory. It's been fantastic in the red zone, and the opening game scripts have been terrific. Other than that, not really much else to hang your hat on. So that was Tomlin, I think, evoking some eternal optimism there about his offense and hoping and wishing that things are going to get better, even though there's not a ton of proof that it will. The offensive line, I do think that would be one area where I do think, actually, you could let out a sigh of relief or feel somewhat optimistic that you went against a team that had 9 sacks in 2 games and you gave up 0.
You got to run block. You got to start run blocking though. Like that part of it, yes, I think is encouraging, but I'm not ready to give them like optimistic marks until this team starts running the ball for more than 2.5 yards a rip.
Jeff Hathorn, 93.7thefan.com. Is Jeff going to Ireland? Do we know yet about that?
I don't think so. But I guess we could ask him tomorrow.
So our quote-unquote representative in Ireland is going to be Crowley? Does that mean Crowley is going to go down?
Can you imagine
after
Crowley
the game
just
and ask
burping?
Tomlin
yeah.
questions? He's going to be our rep.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, he's going to be the person emissary? That gets...
Is Sean McCullough going? We know Sean kind of through this station. He covers pretty much every Steelers game.
Ballsy. There's not a single human being listening out there who knows who he is.
No, he's kind of Jeff's... He and Jeff...
He's a shadowy figure in the background.
But I would be willing to bet he would be getting stuff for us. No, the formal emissary will be Crowley.
And so does he have to stay sober and like formally cover the game?
Have to and will are two different things.
Jeff there today asked Tomlin about the run game struggles, and Mike gave a very bizarre answer.
You know, I think sometimes it's game circumstances. We're not getting off the field a lot or frequently enough on defense. And I think it's altering our time of possession, and oftentimes that dictates how the game is played in some instances. Calvin Austin, for example, I don't know that Calvin's had a punt return. And so that's an indication of the possession component of play and how oftentimes that can affect other phases of the game, not just the unit that might be struggling in a certain area. And certainly we hadn't gotten off on possession downs defensively the way that we liked, and there's a trickle-down effect of that.
It's the defense's fault
that
the run
the
game
ball.
Hasn't been better.
Yeah, I don't...
What a weird answer that is. That's him again falling back on his roots, defensive guy.
Is it also that he's... Is it also... They're 2-1, and so he's choosing to just give a tortured and not really sensible or sensical answer to a question rather than rip his O-line that's mostly young players that he wants to see keep coming along? Is that like the old, like, I'm going to choose when to send a message and choose when to protect
guys? To who more is given, more is expected. I put $160 million into the defense, so even something.
He has two firsts and a second and a pretty highly paid guard is 80% of that.
But you just mentioned it. They're young players. He doesn't want to shatter their confidence. He doesn't want to. They can't handle being publicly criticized.
Well, in that sense, yes. I mean, like, saying that the defense is the reason that the running game hasn't gotten going.
It's nonsensical.
I think he knows that Hayward and Watt and company can probably let that roll off, you know, water off a duck's back kind of thing.
There are a lot of things to blame the defense for. That is not one of them. But they are 2-1, and the Ravens are 1-2, and we should take solace in that. 412-928-9370 if you agree. Here's Isaac on the fan. Hello, Isaac.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Listen, you set me up pretty good in the earlier segment for this. Zoom out to the game last night, right? 4th-and-2, midfield. Dan Campbell decides to go for it. Nice play action pass to your number one receiver. Takes a 1-score game, turns it into a 2-score game because Montgomery decides to run to the end zone. That's the modern NFL we're talking about. Is Tomlin winning one possession games when there's 5 turnovers? Sure. Should we have put up way more points with all those extra possessions? Yes. Is the offense better than last year? Sure. Is the bar super low? Yeah. Do we have a 3-time MVP now? Yes.
4.
Like, you know, 4. There you go. And boy, don't remind me of that. I don't know, man. I hate the Rodgers thing, not to segue off of that. It sucks to try to root for this team with him, but, you know, you got to give it up. Like, it's marginally better. If he didn't have that, would the team be 0-3? Maybe. I just don't think it's, like, such a big thing to make a big deal about, you know? I'd rather watch the type of football that Dan Campbell coaches, put your cojones on the table, go for it at midfield. I didn't even consider that that was a possibility. That's how used to this Tomlin stuff I am.
But my rebuttal to that is, for everything we talk about with Detroit and what a great story it is that he rose that franchise up from the ashes, Dan Campbell had extremely questionable decisions in an NFC Championship game with a big lead that cost his team a trip to the Super Bowl, and they had a home game last year against a rookie quarterback, and they put forth one of the worst defensive efforts in NFL playoff history.
But it's not all sunshine and rainbows. It's not, but you know what's probably way more fun to watch that team every week than to watch the trash we had to watch.
I mean, was it fun
years.
In 2000? Was it fun in 2016 and 2017 here? Was it fun those years here with the Killer Bees, even though they never met expectations but scored a ton of points? Was that fun?
Yes, I did enjoy that because every week you got to watch like stars on the field make great plays.
I mean, Donnie completely disagrees with that because his big thing is Tomlin's not a great coach because he couldn't get over the hump with those teams.
Well, I don't think that Tomlin was the reason those teams were amazing. I think the talent on the field was, so I'd agree with Donnie. I don't think Tomlin's all that great, but in terms of watching a fun football team, and look, in a world, not to zoom out too far, but in a fascist country, I'd like to watch a fun football team on Sundays.
All right, thank you, Isaac.
That took a turn.
So, by that logic, he would have liked last year's Bengals, right?
I would think
so. They were fun. They didn't make the playoffs. They came up short. They haven't won a playoff game now in, what, since 2022? But, watch your team play games where it's 37-30. The Steelers' first game of the year was 34-32.
I know. I like watching games like that, personally. Just sheer entertainment value, I do prefer to watch that.
Okay,
just like in baseball, I'd rather watch a slugfest.
Okay, well, then,
then
two of their first three games have gone that way. Two of their first three games have been higher-scoring games.
31-17 doesn't, like...
A team scored 30-plus points.
It wasn't you, and you only had 17. 34-32, that's like fun time right there. I mean, I do agree with the basic point that, like, I'd rather watch aggressive, high-octane offense in decisions that reflect that.
I mean, I don't like watching teams go 3-and-out and they can't get out of their own way offensively. And the Steelers did that for a big chunk of the game, but they didn't do it the whole game. They started up 14-0. The other thing that's starting to kind of unnerve me a little bit is all of this talk about how they're not taking advantage of turnovers. Mm-hmm. Do you know which team in the NFL literally has the most points off turnovers this year? The Steelers. The most. No team in the NFL has more. So how do I criticize a team for not taking advantage of turnovers when 31 other teams have not done it as well as them?
I'll admit, that's a hard sell.
That's
a pretty hard sell. You sound irked.
I'm just irked. This is like, I'm not the ombudsman of everything, okay? Like, I'm not going to act like I know more than everybody else. But one thing I feel fairly certain about is when your team wins and it has a winning record and it's in first place technically, it's just a weird time to just cast aspersions on them left and right and act like they're a piece of garbage team. And I just feel like for the first day and a half that we've been on the air since this Patriots game, that's what a lot of the fan, meaning the people that have called into our show, that's been a lot of their commentary on this right now.
And don't you think that's a byproduct of how long it's been the same old, same old? Starkey's opening remarks Monday resonated with me. He just feels like he's watching the same
thing
again.
But then he came on the air today and said, let's cheers this team and toast this team for being in first place. So which one is it?
Well, it is Joe, so I mean, we're not necessarily dealing with a guy whose opinions stay stable day to day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I thought he did a nice job for a first time out. I certainly think he needs to continue to work and develop from a conditioning perspective, but that was anticipated, and that's why we were so sensitive to a snap count.
Youth football, backbone of our community, lifeblood of all the great Hall of Fame players and pro football players that have come out of this region, and we want to come watch your kids play. Do you want the fan to visit your game? Email youthsports@937thefan.com. Your group name, your group's main contact info, potential dates for us. Details at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Palman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. It is time for Donnie's Tomlin Tidbit. Tomlin bloviates for 25 minutes every Tuesday. Donnie picks out either a comment from Mike or an answer to a question from Mike that he views to be an important one that our listeners who are ball lovers and ball knowers should hear again and know more about. So what was today, Don?
So he didn't say the name there, but that was in regards to Derek Harmon making his debut against the Patriots. And he made an impact in that game. He was in on a couple of sacks, so he totaled one in the game, a couple of half sacks. He was able to pressure Drake May a few times, get him to move around, get uncomfortable. A couple of tackles, one he made down the field. I think it was Travion Henderson. I don't know. He didn't fumble, so I assume it was Henderson and not Stevenson. but he also played more snaps. I don't know what your anticipation was of him on Sunday or your expectation of him. I did not anticipate him playing as many snaps as he did. He played almost 50%. I thought he was looking at a snap count that would resemble more of like Y.A. Black's 25 or Daniel Equale's 17. Not a guy that would play 35 snaps in his debut.
I think it was one of those situations where you like what you see. You're in a close game. You had one idea going in. You say the hell with it. You scrap it because you got to get out of there with a win by any means necessary. This happens all the time in hockey when, say, Chris Letang comes back from an injury and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll ease him in. He'll play only 20 minutes. Then you look at the box score from that game and he played almost 30 in his first game back. Now, that's a body as a temple guy that's an all-time workaholic. And you got a defensive bodies, first game, conditioning, all that good stuff. But unless you feel like those reps are really compromised by his lack of endurance, you let him eat. And they did. And they should. Because they still have a weak link on their defensive line. And Jeff Hathorn asked another great question today about Daniel Equale, or as Kabali likes to call him, Daniel Ukulele, about if he, Equale, earned more playing time based on his performance against New England.
He is, but oftentimes the rep totality has a lot to do with opportunity. We weren't getting off on third down. We ended up playing a lot of snaps, and so you can view it as an uptick in someone's participation. If we're getting off on third down, there might be less snaps, and you might be asking me why we're not playing them. And so I'd much rather you ask me that. My interest is getting off on possession downs.
Again, another kind of weird answer from Tomlin about why these guys play more. The defense played more snaps, so that's why they went up. He didn't want to really give Equale or guys credit for playing better. Bottom line for me on that is we know who the weak link is right now. It's Keanu Benton. He's not pulling his end of the rope hard enough. Mm-hmm. And so Harmon and Hayward, I think, are locked in as starters.
Yep.
And that leaves Black, Equale, and Benton as the other three defensive linemen. And honestly, based on how I've seen them play this year, I would put Black and Equale ahead of Benton. And I just do not understand why there's this reluctance on their part to play Black at nose tackle.
Do they think he's like not suited for it yet?
That's the whole reason why you draft a guy that big.
I understand that. The only other reason, if they don't trust him,
he played there in the preseason.
The only other reason would be you think that he has some utility to you playing non-nose tackle, like that. But he, what is the dude? 6'5", 340?
Yeah.
Like what else? I know
if he's not a nose tackle, who is?
Well, I know that. Like I know you can make an argument that the ideal nose tackle is actually shorter than that. Casey Hampton size, 6'1". What a big snack play at, Donnie. 340. Listed at the funniest.
He's not as big as Black.
No, I'm saying, like, Casey Hampton was harder to move because there was so...
He was like 5'10", about 330.
Tall guy, 6'5", 6'6", who's 340, is theoretically easier for a well, you know, a fundamentally sound player to move than 6'1", 340 because there's just... He's so low to the ground.
Somebody would kept texting me during the game when the Patriots would convert third downs, and they kept saying Drake, as in Drake May, and Josh, as in Josh McDaniels, are cooking the Steelers. Drake and Josh are cooking the Steelers, and then the text said, "You get it."
Oh, that's and that, I said, that's no. That Disney Channel kids show.
I said, no, I don't.
Nickelodeon, Malzy.
I said, no, okay. I don't get it, and this person's like, "You don't know pop culture." And I'm like...
Oh, no, since I don't know what Drake and Josh is.
You guys were faded out by then. Drake and Josh
faded
was
out.
Like my era.
Isn't that what they say about like heroin addicts? What are you talking about? Faded out.
Faded out.
What? I thought that was a term that was used. Maybe
I don't know. I don't talk about heroin addicts often, Malzy. No, I mean, you guys were out of your like Nickelodeon days well before Drake and Josh.
I was phased out.
No, Yeah, I mean, he could say faded out. We got too old, or we had graduated.
You faded away from Nickelodeon
into Bolivian, like Mike Tyson used to say. We graduated from Nickelodeon.
And the show was called Drake and Josh.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've heard of it. Well, hold on though, Donnie. I never had Nickelodeon days. No cable till 17. Man, I'd go up to like Cleveland to my uncle and aunts and my grandma's house, and I'd watch My Brother and Me and Pete and Pete, and I was just like, what am I missing in life? Look at all this. I'd watch the same Sports Center 5 times in a row.
Amazing stuff.
And weren't those the days?
Definitely.
That's when ESPN was at its best.
It was always all scores and highlights.
So you never got to watch Clarissa Explains It All on Nickelodeon?
No, I knew of those shows, but they were like
Melissa Joan Hart, man. She was a Fox back in the day.
You were a fan?
Yeah. 5-6-year-old Pony was like, I like what she's doing.
I like what she's doing.
That was a little early for me.
Topanga was the one, I think, for most guys.
Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
Topanga and Kelly Kapowski.
Oh,
from
my.
Saved by the Bell.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen is still.
I never watched.
She's in her mid-50s, I think, now, and she looks phenomenal.
I never liked Saved by the Bell.
Who cares about
never
the show?
Never did it for me.
They could have been talking about whatever on the show. They had whatever her name, Kelly Kapowski. Remember, didn't they have an episode where Elizabeth Berkley, who later went on to star in Showgirls, got high on caffeine pills? And
yes.
They had one of those very special episodes. Just
that one's very
just
touching.
Like on Fresh Prince when Will gave Carlton speed by accident because Carlton thought it was vitamin E and he had to take back Clippers tickets to Uncle Phil because he saved Carlton's life, but he was the reason he was sick in the first place.
I met the principal from that show,
Mr. Belding,
at Jim Kelly's celebrity golf tournament when I was working up in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody introduced me to him. And I was an idiot. I didn't really, watch Saved by the Bell that much. And so just to make small talk, I asked him, I'm like, so what's Urkel up to these days? And he's like, who?
He's dead.
No. Urkel's still alive. You're thinking of Screech.
Oh, Screech. Yeah.
Screech has passed away.
And Screech, yeah. Screech was sick. That sucked.
And the guy from the station I was there with was like, hey, numbnuts, Urkel's was not on that show. And the guy actually played it off and tried to answer the question like, I think he's still acting. I think he's still,
I don't know what Big Urkel's been. I don't know what Jaleel White's been doing these days.
He's probably hosting a game show somewhere that gets shown at like 10 a.m.
You know who else I met at that celebrity golf tournament? Shooter McGavin.
You're just telling us this now?
Yep.
Christopher McDonald himself.
You know who else I met at that golf tournament?
Bill Murray.
You're going to say like former president of the United States.
Ronald
William
Reagan
Jefferson
was
Clinton.
There.
The actor who did the voice of the cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Was it a dude?
Yeah, it was.
With that black cat that would, oh, yeah. It had that like nasally dry
I know the
humor
show,
voice.
But I can't really think of the voice and I don't know who the guy
is.
I
mean, pretty big flex.
I'm the cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Hey, you seen that Teenage Witch show where she talks to her black cat?
That's me. Donnie, thank you for a time.
What would have been the bigger flex, that or being like, hey, you know Home Improvement? I'm Wilson. You never see my face, sure, but I'm Wilson.
Man, Tim Allen got himself in some hot water growing up, huh?
Oh, yeah, Ballsy is not a Tim Allen guy.
He should be in jail for life. He was facing a life sentence
here
for
cocaine. Moral Ballsy.
Hold on. Not Moral Ballsy. He was facing a life sentence for cocaine trafficking, and he snitched on everyone else.
Now, here's what I don't get about
how
that.
How was that a non? That was not a non-starter for Pixar, because they said, we need a Buzz Lightyear, and you're the man for the job.
Or
the Santa movie he was in.
To Infinity and Beyond was his catchphrase when he was all coked up,
I bet. I'm also wondering, like, when that type of thing happens,
yeah,
somebody goes into protection. I mean, the guy's a Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
He's not hiding at all. Like, I'm surprised nobody came after him.
Well, the only other thing I could think, that's a good point. The only thing I can think of is it was him and his idiot buddies, and it wasn't, like, connected to organized crime or something. Like, they somehow just acquired a lot of cocaine and were ready to traffic. Or
they acquired a lot of cocaine.
Or it was one of those deals. Or it was one of those deals where, like, they were getting really hammered by the prosecutor, right? They were really lording over a high sentence. And he just said, like, I'll squeal. Like, these are just two morons.
I mean,
here.
Guy landed on his feet unbelievably well. A lot of people that have that kind of rap sheet can't get a job, making burgers for people.
No, instead,
this guy ended up being a...
made tens of millions, if not more.
Yeah. Tool Time.
Also, by the way...
bunch of Santa movies.
How hard is it to do this? But I think she pulled it off. Debbie Dunning was the tool girl after Pam Anderson, and I think actually it was an it somehow was an improvement.
Really?
I think that's a brunettes blondes question, though. Like, that reveals your preferences.
That's, like, another example of what you're talking about is what was that stupid show on MTV where it went from the female sidekick was Jenny McCarthy?
Singled out.
And she got replaced by Carmen Electra.
Singled out.
I mean, that's like going from Favre to Rogers right there, folks. Would you not agree?
Yes.
I mean, yes. You thought you Manning lost a Hall of Fame quarterback. Another one walked right through the door. Jenny McCarthy to Carmen Electra.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a very fair point. Pony, I am sweating it right now like no one's business. My guy made a triple bogey. I'm dodging more bullets than you can possibly imagine, like Neo in the Matrix in this golf tournament.
Tom and Ross Travers on the fan. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Please explain why all the fuss today about Tomlin's one-score record when it's nearly the same as his overall percentage and the same as his...
Because
one-score games are usually much more difficult to win at the clip that he wins them.
You're supposed to win one-score games about 50% of the time. That's why, Tom. Is that it, Tom?
That was hitting.
Okay, thank you. Here is Rich next. Hello, Rich.
Hey, guys, how are we doing? Appreciate you taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, let me just get a couple of pet peeves for the last 10 years at least that Tomlin is driving me crazy with. You know, we live in our fears. We don't ever throw over the middle of the field, but yet that defensive genius can't figure out a way to stop our opponents from throwing over the middle of the field.
That's
people are wide open.
I like
year
that
after
point.
Year. And then
pretty
the other
good.
Thing, how many times on second and long have we blitzed and it worked? We either rushed a guy or actually got a sack. And then on third and long, he's dropping T.J. Watt into pass coverage. And that, they do that repeatedly. They don't blitz on third and long. And then the point I want to make on the stats, I don't have the exact number. You guys can get it, but I know it's deplorable. The number of times Tomlin has lost games when we play teams with losing records, in other words, games you're supposed to win, he's dropped a ton of them. And I think back in Knowles' day, I think he was 60-1 against teams with losing records.
I don't think that's entirely right. I'd have to double-check that if that's true. That's a pretty remarkable stat. We'll go back and look over the last few years how Tomlin has fared in those games against bad teams.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.